Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, as always, Maggie. Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine. It's a beautiful morning up in northern Michigan.
Good. It is in northern California, too. It is cooler than usual for this time of year, and we've got no smoke in the air. And
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. The smoke has been horrible. I mean, I just have never breathed air like that. And I've traveled all over. I just have never seen that sort of thick yellow. It just was horrible. I'm sure it was the equivalent of like 10 pack years.
Maybe you should go to Beijing for the Olympics now that you're used to it.
Exactly. It would be mild by comparison. This morning, we're going to talk about homocysteine. Homocysteine's gotten a lot of attention over the past several years. Just some background, homocysteine is an intermediary amino acid. There has been evidence that suggests that moderate homocysteinemia is an independent risk factor for atherosclerotic vascular disease and perhaps also for recurrent thromboembolism. Although there was some early data suggesting that there was a relationship between elevated homocysteine and coronary artery disease and stroke, that evidence has been relatively inconsistent. Now, there are some drugs that have been used in the treatment of diseases and conditions that hang around with homocysteine. For example, drugs used in the treatment of hypercholesterolemia, such as some of the fibrates and nicotinic acid, have been shown to raise homocysteine levels by as high as sometimes 30%. The big issue has been, do we screen for homocysteine? The screening test isn't difficult, and it's not expensive, but it calls into question, what are we going to do if we find an elevated level? We may be able to lower it, but is there a benefit from lowering that level, and do people have a lower incidence when you lower their level of homocysteine? This week, Mark, you're going to talk us through an article from JAMA. The article is called The Effect of Folic Acid in B Vitamins on the Risk of Cardiovascular Events and Total Mortality Among Women at High Risk for Cardiovascular Disease, a Randomized Study. Specifically, I think what they're asking is, can folic acid and B vitamin supplementation lower the risk of coronary vascular disease in high-risk women? What did they find?
Well, previous studies have not shown a benefit to this kind of intervention, and they've looked at some pretty high-risk groups. Previous studies have, in particular, looked at people who were just post-MI or post-stent placement or post-angioplasty, and some actually found a harm to intervening to try to reduce homocysteine levels. Because women have been underrepresented in previous studies, researchers thought, well, let's look at it in women. Maybe it's a different situation. They identified over 5,400 women who were age 42 or older, and all of them had either a history of known heart disease or they had three or more coronary risk factors. They randomized them to get either a once-daily pill with adequate, pretty big doses of folic acid, B6, and B12, or to a matching placebo. And this was part of a larger study that was also looking at vitamin C, E, and beta carotene in other arms of the study. The researchers who looked at the treatment outcomes, the cardiovascular events, were blinded to the treatment assignment, which is good, and they had pretty complete follow-up. They followed 93% of the women for a total of 7.3 years, so a big, long study of this question. Homocysteine levels were significantly reduced in the treatment group, so they were taking their vitamins, and it did appear to have the desired effect to lower the homocysteine level. But using an intention-to-treat analysis, they didn't see any difference in either the incidence of cardiovascular events or mortality. The cardiovascular event risk was 14.9% in the vitamin group and 14.3% in the control group. They also did a per-protocol analysis where they looked at women who had especially good compliance with their daily vitamins, and they still found no benefit. Basically the bottom line is the supplementation with folic acid and B vitamins did lower homocysteine levels in these high-risk women, but it did not reduce their risk of cardiovascular events or death.
Interesting. So it sounds like this is another one of those studies that we've talked about over the years, that looking at a surrogate marker that seems to hang out with increased levels of coronary artery disease, it might make sense, and it might make a lot of people excited to lower this surrogate marker with the hopes that you'll lower coronary artery disease. But in this case, that just didn't pan out.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you can come up with all sorts of compelling reasons if you sit down with a biochemist or a cardiovascular physiologist why lots of homocysteine would be a bad thing. But it turns out that it may simply be a marker of some other problem, and manipulating that homocysteine level itself does not seem to have any beneficial effect. And again, some studies have even found some harm.
Interesting. And it is, I think, relatively well accepted, at least by the U.S. Preventive Health Task Force and other scholarly groups that have looked at this. I don't think anybody currently is recommending routine screening for homocysteine.
That's right. That's right. And I think one other thing you always have to ask yourself in this kind of a negative study where no difference was found is, did they have enough patients to find a difference if there actually was one? In this case, you'd think that with 5,400 women followed for 7.3 years, they would have that power. And they did the calculation, and they had over 80% power to detect a difference of 15% versus 12% in cardiovascular events. So it was a well-powered study and found no benefit.
Just out of curiosity, do you know who funded the study?
I do not. I don't remember.
It sounds like an expensive study.
Yes, but it's the Women's Antioxidant Cardiovascular Study, and antioxidants, there's no branded antioxidants, so I would guess it was probably a federally funded study.
Interesting. Well, thanks. A good study, a good reminder that sometimes these tests that are in practice aren't as helpful as they're touted. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks.
All right, sounds good. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.